In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear sisters, dear faithful, today we have the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles in the upper room, and what is not so much focused on in the little reading we've just had is the transformation of soul that the apostles underwent when the Holy Ghost came upon them. They went from being decent men, yes, but with all of the weaknesses of decent men, of merely decent men. They went from being those kind of men to being saints. And they went out and they preached boldly, but with charity, the Word of God. This was a very sudden transformation and much deeper and much more powerful, in fact, than the external signs that we have recounted in the reading of today. And that transformation was instantaneous. But of course, you know that that's not the way it normally goes. It does happen sometimes in the church's history that a person is converted instantaneously from a sinner to a decent man or from a decent man to a saint. But the normal way is the gradual way. Life's work is done in a lifetime, not in a day. Now, I thought it would be fitting today to honor God on this day when he transformed the pillars of the church, the apostles, in such a way, if we would talk a little bit about the different stages of this transformation, which, as I say, is normally a gradual one, and so we can see different stages. I think it would be a way of honoring God to look at this great work that he undertakes in the souls of men. This process by which we grow holier and holier, it's a gradual one, as I said, and so anything that's gradual, of course, is difficult to see. We don't see the flower growing if we just walk outside and look at it. We don't see it growing because it's gradual. And in the case of the growth of the soul, well, it's internal. It's not even something visible to our eyes. And so it is something also more difficult to see. And so when we are confronted with something like this, which is difficult to see, it's easy for us to react and say, well, there's just no making sense of it. It's so mysterious, there's no making sense of it. And so, because there's no making sense of it, I'll just follow my own ideas on this question of getting holy. Well, it's not true that there's no making sense of it, and it's certainly very dangerous to follow your own ideas, so please don't do that. I will try to give some explanation here, which I think will be helpful. I won't be able to see everything, but I think the danger is when a priest tries to explain something, especially this, the different stages, the different ways that we make progress gradually in the life of God. There are sort of two dangers. So the first is that when the priest explains that, no, there is a process and we can recognize this process, that people become shortcut people. Okay, there's a process, there must be a shortcut. And there's not, actually. Of course, there's smart ways to go about things, and if we go about things in the intelligent way, it'll be more efficient, for sure. Just like if we're trying to go from here to Liverpool, there's a lot of ways we could go. We could go down to Wollongong, and then sort of, you could do it that way if you wanted. It's not particularly efficient, but you'd hopefully eventually get there if you didn't run out of petrol. It's not particularly efficient. There's a better way to get there. But just because there's a better way to get there doesn't mean you can get there in 5 minutes. You can't. Okay? And so too in our spiritual life. There is a process. There is a smart way to get where we're going. Doesn't mean we can get there by tomorrow. Okay? Our Lord never said, if you will be perfect, say this prayer 5 times a day. He didn't say that. Now, you can say it, whatever prayer it is, 5 times a day, that's fine. But don't expect it to work like magic, because it doesn't work like magic. The way to get where we're going is to follow our Lord and to carry our cross. So let us not be shortcut people. Okay. Another way, though, is when we can maybe make a mistake, is when the priest explains these things. We can become so fascinated by them, so interested. And when Father, well, there's different stages and there's sort of a way to go, there's a smart way to go, that it becomes kind of like our hobby. And instead of actually walking the path, we just study it. And we don't want to fall into that trap either. There is a process. There is a smart way to go. There are stages. And let's be good. Let's get going. Let's understand enough to help us get going. Okay. So, the first thing, of course, and the most obvious thing, is that the process we're talking about is something that's rooted, which is actually in our soul. It's something real in our soul. It's not just a question of becoming more and more ethical. It's a question of growing in the life of sanctifying grace. It's something real that's in us that gives us powers that we didn't have before, which makes us capable of doing things we couldn't do before. It's something real in us, and we want to increase it. And like any life, it's gradual by nature, as I said, and has processes, stages by nature, and a certain logic to it. One thing comes before the next thing. Okay. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. Now, when we go through these different stages, don't try to find these stages written in a book as I'm describing them, because I'm sort of crossing over some of the usual ways of explaining these stages, because hopefully in that way it'll be easier to understand. Okay, so the first thing we could talk about is not really a stage. What the first thing I'll describe is when you have someone who is a sinner and they like being a sinner. In other words, they don't even feel the slightest motivation to change their life. They're a sinner, and that's what they want to be. And we can't really call this a stage, because we're talking about stages in the development of a life. And this person's soul is dead. And not dead because, well, this or that temptation that overcame their weakness despite their goodwill. No, they don't have goodwill. Their soul is dead, and they want to be dead. So let's just push that aside. That's not a stage in the life that we're talking about. It's a reality and a sad one, but it's not a stage. Where we could begin our question of a stage is when we're talking about someone who is, yes, living in the state of sin most of the time, it's true, but they do see the ideal of the Christian life as something beautiful. And they wish, and I use that word on purpose, they wish they were living it. They do see it as something beautiful. It's a bit like a beautiful dream that they wish they were living. Well, this person is in a better position than the previous, we can see that. But unfortunately, they are not resolved. This is the point. They are not resolved to break with the occasions of sin that keep them in the state of mortal sin most of the time. There are certain circumstances, we can all appreciate this, I think. There are certain circumstances that lead us into sin, sometimes circumstances that lead us into grave sin. And we know those are called occasions of sin. And when we recognize them, we have to break with them. We've got to put some distance between ourselves and those occasions, because every time, or almost every time we step into them, we are swept along to mortal sin, of course. So what defines this stage of person is that they do see the beauty of the Christian life. They see it would be a wonderful thing to live the life of God, to have that in their soul. But they are not ready to break with the occasions of sin. And for that reason, strictly speaking, these people are not even beginners. And that's important to understand. There is something which is better than the other group, But strictly speaking, they are not even beginners. And if there are people in this group who are in the church today, I'm very glad that you're here. You should be here. You need to be here. And I'm happy you're here. And I don't say these things to discourage you. You are better off than most people in the world, for sure. But I have to tell you the truth. It is important for your own sakes that you understand where you are. And the fact is, you're not yet even beginning to live the life that we are all of us meant to be living on earth. And unfortunately, you are on the road to hell. You are. And I'm not saying that because I like to scare people. I'm just saying it because it's logical. It's true. If you are not breaking with occasions of sin that lead you to mortal sin, and that's the way your life is unfolding, you're going to be in mortal sin most of the time. So, I'm afraid that's just logical. Okay. The next step is a beginner. And a beginner is someone who is resolved to live like a Christian, which means they've broken with these circumstances that precisely lead them in the opposite direction. Again, it's only logical. They are resolved to live like a Christian, which means whatever those occasions of sin are that lead them into mortal sin, they said, no, no more. I'm not going to live like that anymore. Oftentimes today, that's a question of, when I say these occasions of sin, it can be many things, of course. It can be a person, it can be drink, it can be whatever. But oftentimes today, it's a question of technology. It's a question of the internet. And yes, that occasion of sin needs to be broken in order to be a beginner. And for parents who have young children who are thinking about how they are going to manage their household, how they're going to arrange the life in which their children, the environment in which their children live their lives, this is an important question because you've got to protect them. Because it would not be good at all, I think you can understand, if by the time your children are finished being children, when they are whatever you want to pick an age, 18, 19, whatever, if they're not yet beginners, that would be a terrible thing. Okay, so these are beginners. And understand, they are still people who fall into mortal sin sometimes. They do. They have broken with those occasions, which usually lead them there, but they've just broken with them. Okay? Doesn't mean that they have all the strength they need to resist every temptation. They don't. So they do fall into mortal sin sometimes. And they definitely commit deliberate venial sin a lot. So a temptation comes. They clearly see. This is a sin. It's only a venial sin, but it's a sin, clearly. And I choose it. That's what we mean by a deliberate venial sin. Okay? There is there's a certain cold calculation that the person goes through. But of course, it's only a small sin. But nevertheless, it's with full awareness. And a beginner is someone who commits deliberate venial sin pretty regularly. And as I say, falls into mortal sin sometimes. But they're a beginner, and that's good. Okay? Now, for beginners, it's very important that they are very faithful to the practices, whether it be practices of prayer, practices of making little sacrifices, little mortifications. They've got to be very consistent there. Because you understand, even though they've broken those occasions of mortal sin, they've got heaps of attachments. Okay? Not attachments that lead them directly to mortal sin, but heaps of attachments. And their passions are not subdued. So they have to be disciplined. They have to pray regularly. They have to have some sort of schedule for that or a program of that. And they have got to stick to it. They can't just allow themselves to be taken up by the moment, because the momentum is still not a very healthy momentum. They're just beginning. So they've got to be very regular in their prayers and their sacrifices. And also another characteristic of beginners, they cannot trust their ideas about the spiritual life. It's good, it is very good, that they are interested, that they've got this desire and to understand and to learn. But you have to understand, when we are beginners, again, just be logical. If we are beginners, then our passions are still very, very alive in us. And our attachments are very, very strong in us. Which means most of the time, that voice we hear inside our head is not the Holy Ghost. It's the voice of our attachments, of our passions, of our pride, or whatever. So we cannot simply trust that voice as if it was the Holy Ghost. At this stage, it usually is not. There's too much noise in our soul coming from the lower part of our nature. And again, it's just logical. These are people who regularly break the commandments. In other words, it's not meant to be a cheap shot. Just understand what I'm talking about here. The will of God, as expressed in His commandments, is perfectly clear and obvious. The inspirations of the Holy Ghost, discerning that voice from all the other voices in our heads, so to speak, is not clear and obvious. So when the will of God is clear and obvious in the commandments, and very, very often we deliberately ignore it, don't think you're going to be able to discern the much quieter, much more subtle voice of the Holy Ghost. So those are beginners. Okay. Now the last stage that I'm going to talk about in this sermon, we could talk about others, of course, and we could talk about them from different points of view. But I think this will be sufficient for our needs today. The last stage that we'll consider are people who have moved beyond being beginners. Now, in people like this, mortal sin is very rare. Very rare. It can still happen if the person is caught by surprise with a very violent temptation. It can still happen, but it's very rare. In fact, even deliberate venial sin has become rare. Now understand what has had to happen for that to be the case, right? This is not by chance. These are people who have given their passions and their attachments a serious beating. They have done the hard yards. They've worked. They have worked patiently but perseveringly, and their passions are pretty well subdued now. And their attachments, most of them at least, are pretty well broken. And that's why deliberate venial sin is not common. Now, in a soul like this, the way is open for the Holy Ghost to guide them a little more freely. The way is open. And a person like this can afford to listen a little more openly to that voice inside their head. Because that voice inside their head will now, more often than before, be the Holy Ghost. It will. In other words, it will be. If not, I don't be dramatic about this. But that inspiration that comes to them will be from God. It will not be an inspiration that simply comes from their temperament or from their fallen nature. A person like this can also afford to be a little more flexible in their practices. In other words, their prayers, their sacrifices, because most of the time, whatever they're doing for God. Most of the time. That's normal for them to direct their activity, whatever it may be, to God. Now, to be honest with you, most people think they're at this stage. My dear friends, they're not. They're not. It's why it's important to have some clear ideas about these different stages. Most people like very much the idea of being flexible in their prayer life and their penance life. Today is not going to be a penance day. It's Tuesday, Today, I'll let that prayer go. And sometimes we do. But you understand, the idea of flexibility is very appealing to us. The idea of trusting that voice inside our head is very appealing to us. We like that. And so many people think, but unfortunately not truly, that they're at this stage. They would like to think they are, and so they think they are. I'm thinking of one person in particular who does not come to this church, so calm down. But one person I have known, and this person was, I would say, as far as most people were concerned, quite pious, as far as appearances went. I think most people would have described this person as pious, especially if they ever went to this person's house, because this person's house had religious images and statues everywhere. So you certainly got that impression. But this person neglected going to Sunday Mass 50% of the time. Not because they were sick, not because they lived at a very, very great distance, not because they had to work and there was no getting out of it. Well, you know, some days I get up and I you know, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes, Father, you know. Now, my friends, if you've been following what I'm trying to explain, you can understand that this person is not even a beginner. This person is committing mortal sin every other Sunday and committing it for something which isn't even all that difficult. Not because they've struggled with some sort of, or not because they have some sort of addiction. No, because they can't be bothered about something that is so fundamental and obvious to living a Catholic life. This person is not even a beginner. And the number of statues is not going to save them. We've got to be real and serious and think about these things. With regard to people in this category, we're talking about this category of people, as I say, who are one step past being beginners. Okay? These are serious people. They've done the hard yard. Their soul is much more in order than it was before. These people are still going to need, let's be clear about this, they're still going to need advice. Just because they can trust that inspiration a little bit more doesn't mean they're not going to need advice from priests and from other serious people. And as another little test about whether you're in this category, people who are in this category, although they can trust that voice inside their head more often, they want advice. Their humility, their wisdom, their distrust of self has reached a point where they see looking for help as normal. They don't, in fact, need help for as many things as they used to, but they want it more than they used to. So my friends, we'll leave it at that. Just remember on this beautiful feast day that we are born to be great. We are born into this world to be great. But to do that, we've got to think straight, and we have to be serious. Life is a great adventure. There's no other word for it. God has put us in this world to be like Him, to be more and more divine. And if we are willing to be little, we will be like gods upon the earth. Now, all of us, to one extent or another, have, myself included, all of us, to one extent or another, have wasted some time of this very precious time on earth. So on this beautiful feast day, let's resolve to think straight, to be serious, not to waste time, because life is a beautiful adventure. And what are we waiting for? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.